Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 11, August the 2nd, 2011. Ham Radio communicates via satellite. Hello, everybody. Again, we're coming to you from my station lab here in Illinois, and it's going to be fun tonight. We're talking about communicating by satellite, and not only do we communicate by satellite and ham radio, but also it's the fact that we have elementary school children doing it also, and we got the premier teacher with us to do that. Carol Perry is back. But first of all, let's see what's going on in Santa Monica. Gordo, how you doing?
I am doing fine, and good evening to all of the Ham Nation audience, visual as well as audio. And I can't wait for our interview of Ms. Carol Perry first.
Well, she's the best when it comes to teaching, that's for sure. And we were, of course, we know that that she's always looking for new things for those children to learn and to get their license. I don't know how many. We'll have to bring her in and find out about that. That's one of the questions I want to know, how many that she has brought into the ham radio license classes. It's going to be very interesting. But we're here also with Clint Bradford, who does a lot of satellite communications. He'll be on a little later. And George just fired up his soldering iron. A little bit later, he's going to turn that receiver on. So we're going to have some fun tonight. So be sure and dial up your neighbors and call your mother and all that kind of stuff, because it's really going to be fun. And greetings to all in the chat room. We'll be watching a little bit of that. But, Goral, let's see if we can get Carol in here tonight and start moving up to Staten Island way. Carol, are you there? WB2MGB, are you there?
I certainly am, and I am thrilled to be here for this show with the two of you.
Well, we're happy to have you. We've had a few technical difficulties a couple of weeks ago, but you got that solved. That's great. That's great. Gordo, you able to see and hear Carol okay?
We hear her just fine. And don't worry about the echo, Carol. I had that all last week, and it's fun. Carol, how did you get started in teaching in the school system, and what good advice can you give to our listeners that might be instructors themselves? Go ahead.
Well, let me tackle Bob's question, because I think your listeners would be interested in knowing that when I did, in fact, for 30 years, teach at a middle school in New York, Introduction to Amateur Radio, I would have 16 classes each term with between 35 to 40 students in each class. So to answer your question, Bob, 30 years of teaching 950 students each year. At one point in their school careers at the middle school that I was at, every student would come through the amateur radio program. It was not a licensing class. It was just to give the kids a fun experience, an adventure, and expose them to technology through the fun of an amateur radio class. And the best we could track, 75% of them actually did go on and get licensed.
Well, that's terrific, Carol. I'm just delighted to hear all the great history. Carol, now that Radio Club of America is involved, tell me the tie-in with RCA and the continuing education provided by some of the RCA-chosen instructors.
Absolutely, Gordon. We have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for your listeners to get the help, the materials, and the resources that they would need to get started, no matter how it is that they want to participate in a school program. Not everybody would be lucky enough to teach it where it's part of the school curricula, like I was, But even if you're doing it as a club or an after-school program, the Radio Club of America, which, by the way, is now 102 years old, and we're all volunteers, and this is what I do in my retirement, what we do is try to locate those instructors that need something to help them get started. And you can contact me. Again, the email that's easy for your listeners to remember would be whiskeybravo2mightygoodprofessor@gmail.com. Anything I speak of, if you want more information, please contact me. Now, what we're offering is Gordon West and his very fine publishers are working with me through RCA and my Education Youth Activities Committee to put a curriculum package of Gordon's very fine materials into the hands as a starter kit for any teacher who wants to know how to get started with the curriculum and with the teaching materials by introducing amateur radio into the classroom. Now, we also have a program where through RCA we get donated ham radio equipment. If somebody donates the ham equipment or electronics equipment, it is forwarded directly to one of my committee people in Connecticut who has a facility where he inspects it, repairs it if it needs it, and then waits for me to tell him which school to send the radio to. So in addition to the curriculum that's available for anybody who's working with a youth group or a school, like Boy Scouts or any other youth group, we also have the ability to help them map Gordon with equipment, and in some cases even a stipend to help them get started. And we have at least 11 schools in the last 2 years through RCA that we've been helping to get started and to continue working with the youngsters.
Oh, that's a great program, Carol. Well, thanks so much. And finally, I know we're a little tight on time. Tell us about the young speaker at the 25th Dayton Youth Forum.
Yes, very exciting. If any of your listeners know of any young, enthusiastic, and talented youngster who would like to participate, this will be the 25th year of my moderating the Youth Forum at Dayton. And I'm always looking for students. It's a remarkable experience for them. And this year we're going to be doing something really special for them, because it is the 25th year, and RCA is one of the co-sponsors of that forum. Each child who speaks gets an RCA Young Achievers Award, along with a stipend check to go back into the convention and spend on some ham gear.
Wow, that sounds terrific. Carol, one more time, would you give your email address for our listeners and viewers to write you direct?
Absolutely. WhiskeyBravo2mightygoodprofessor@gmail.com.
All right. Well, that's terrific. Hey, Bob, did you get that okay?
I got it all. I did. And I'm amazed at how many people you've had join our ham radio just through your classes. But you did that for a long time, and I know you've had a lot of young kids that join us when we go to Dayton. You have so many join you there in your workshops, and that's really great what you do with all of that. You had one of the astronauts there last Dayton, didn't you?
That was so exciting. That was KF5BOC, Doug Wheelock, and he calls that his gravity call sign because where he was operating from was the International Space Station. And he came into the forum and just wowed everybody and spoke to the kids directly about how important amateur radio communications were to him while he was on board the space station.
Every one of the astronauts get their license before they go up. I'm amazed at what's been going on in the last decade with ham radio and the space program. That's really super. And the kids, of course, love it when they can communicate with them. So you're a great part of that. So keep that going. And who knows where we go from here. I know we won't have the program that we have had for all these years, but there's got to be something coming down the pike from NASA that the kids can get involved with, and you're going to be right at the top of that, I betcha.
I hope so.
That's true. That's true. Well, we look forward to seeing more and hearing more about what you're doing here on Ham Nation. We'll have you on again to bring us more information about the kids, and sure glad that you could join us tonight. Gordo, you have anything that you need to ask Carol before she takes off?
Well, we just want to thank Carol for standing by after 2 weeks. We've got a whole new system here, Carol, and just great to hear you, great to see you. And I know many of our viewers and listeners will look forward to corresponding with you. So, Bob, I think it's time that we get into space. And don't we have a spaceman of our own down here on Earth?
I think we do. I think Clint is... I think he could be called a spaceman, yes. Clint's really something, K6LCS. We'll try to get Clint in here, and we'll say goodbye to you, Carol. Thanks very much for coming aboard tonight, and we'll look forward to having you again and hear some more details about what you're doing with RCA and try to make all that happen, and we'll stay in touch. So have fun, and maybe we'll see you on 20 meters.
You bet. And thanks again for the opportunity to share all this information.
Okay. Thank you. And good night to you. I just wonder if Clint is there. Clint, are you with us?
Good evening, Bob.
Hello there. Hello there. That's great. I wanted to see if we could try to help a little bit before I get into this. Clint, did you know yesterday was Jerry Garcia's birthday?
No, I did not.
Well, it was Jerry Garcia's birthday. Jerry Garcia named my company. Did you know that? Piece of trivia here for the chat room. The deal was, I started off back in the 60s. It was Ye Olde Music Shop. But... we got out with the Grateful Dead, and I got a call from Jerry one day, and he said, we have a tough time pronouncing that Ye Olde Music Shop, so we're just going to call you Heil Sound. And so it was. Jerry Garcia named my company. So there you have it. And your birthday is a day after his, because today is your birthday. Is that right? It is. It's your birthday. So happy birthday to you. I wonder, did you get that thing going yet? Did you get that going, Andy? Or Alex, are you there?
Yeah, can you give us about 5 minutes?
We can, about 5 minutes. Well, we'll come in there and do it. But let's see here. I think Sarah is coming in here with something for you, Clint. See if she can enter the camera here. Look at this. It's happy birthday time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, look at Gordo.
Oh, Sarah, dear.
Put your bass in there.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
And we all the chat room can sing happy birthday
to you.
That's
a lot of cupcakes.
Well, it is. And I'm sorry
that
you're not here in Illinois to eat them. Our incense. Look at that. Ooh.
My wife just brought me a carrot cake.
You went all out, Gordo. Sarah got these together. Susie got those together. And it's all for you, Clint. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Clint.
This is extraordinary.
Here's Susie to say a big
this
happy
is wonderful.
Birthday.
Thank you all very much.
A big happy birthday, Clint.
There, a big happy birthday to the spaceman. And in your honor, while you're talking about how'd you get involved with satellite communications, we're just going to go ahead and eat the space station here. The the satellite station and the ground station will get consumed as well. So, Clint, tell us, how'd you get involved with working satellites? Go ahead, Clint.
Oh. Hey, Sarah's going to leave us, so she's going to look at that. He's got his own. Yeah. Okay. There you are. Thank you very much for doing that.
He kind of looks like Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. All right. That's fun.
Why?
So much fun. And we might have a little more later on. We'll see what happens. But let's get into some of what's going on with Clint. Go ahead. You had some questions, Gordo.
Yeah, my first question for Clint was, now that you've celebrated your birthday, don't we have something up there in space, at least going up, or no, not going up, going out tomorrow morning? And tell us how you first got involved with working the satellites, Clint. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you much. Yes, indeed. We do have the Russian EVA tomorrow morning, the spacewalk. At 7 o'clock, NASA live TV coverage begins. And at 7:30, they're going to open the hatch. At 7:46, they're going to move the ARISS-AT1 satellite to the hatch. They're going to literally just push it outside the ISS and deploy it for us tomorrow, approximately 8:07 in the morning, our time, live on NASA TV. So go to nasa.gov tomorrow and watch that. It's going to be terribly, terribly exciting. We had a test transmission of last weekend. Wildly successful, heard all over the planet.
All right. Now, Clint, for our scanner listeners with an FM receiver plus us hams, what's the best frequency to tune in to when that satellite is passing overhead?
You can hear it on 145.95 with your handheld radio and a little better antenna. Complete instructions for you with the also with a SSTV. And other telemetry modes is on that website, worksat.com. That's there on the bottom. It's only going to last 3 to 6 months. That's all it's intended to last, but it's a test chassis and program for future FM satellites.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, Clint, how did you get involved in working satellites? What gave you the impetus to work the birds?
Gordo, five or six years ago, at a ham fest, I saw an AMSAT table for amateur satellites here in North America, and I just walked on by thinking 100 watts minimum, dual Yagis on the roof, which are grounds for divorce in some cities, and I just thought, no way was I going to be able to do it. When I found out that these FM birds we have over us, the low Earth orbiting satellites at 200 to 500 miles above us, can be worked with equipment that most hams already own, a 2-meter 440 handheld, that's when the bug hit me, and I've given my presentation to more than 70 clubs so far in the Southern California region.
Wow, that's really some great news. Now, a handheld, when a lot of folks think a satellite station, they think the big dual band, single sideband, but we've got satellites, easy sats, that you can work with a little HT, huh?
Absolutely, and as little as the little VX2 and VX3, a watt or a watt and a half. Improve your antenna a little bit. We know those stock antennas that come with our handhelds are -2, -3 dB at best. So you need to it is a weak signal and 500 miles away. So you do need to improve your antenna a little bit. But goodness, we have. Do you want to put slide number? Let's put slide number one up. Do we have our slides there?
There we go.
There's a familiar face there on the left at the Torrance Ham Convention 3 years ago, Gordo, because it's coming up again. We'll be working it again this September 9 through 11 right here at the Torrance Marriott. And the information on the Ham Fest is hamconinc.org, hamconinc.org. But there I am just with a little handheld Yagi, a handheld, working the low pass of satellite AO51.
That's amazing that you can do that with a little handy talk. What is it?
Oh, I think
5
that's
watts.
Terrific, Clint. Now, Clint, what kind of radio again for working the satellites? Dual band, simultaneous, transmit, receive? Go ahead.
Ideally, we should be working the FM satellites in full duplex mode where you can monitor the downlink with an earpiece as you transmit. But we only have on the market right now one handheld that does that really well. That's that THD-72A from Kenwood. Wonderful rig, but with GPS and APRS and all sorts of marvelous modes in it, but it's $500. A little handheld that Gordo and I both like is the ASU FT-60. No, it is not a duplex radio, but you can program in one memory channel 2-meter and 440 split frequencies, so you can work these UHF, VHF birds. Does it very, very nicely. To work full duplex without an expensive radio, use your scanner as your second radio or a second handheld. Not mandatory to work full duplex, just treat it like you treat your normal repeaters. Wait for a break in the action so you don't step on someone else, and then key your mic up and announce yourself. Do we have our pictures up? We have picture number two. Is a little picture of a tape measure beam. Folks can get into the world of high gain. There, look at that. $12 worth of parts can get you into the world of high gain. The ultimate antennas, yes, are about $130, the ones from Aero Antennas or Elk. But you can get in the world of high gain, and we have worked 2 meter and 440 with a little tape measure antennas.
I really like that. That's really wonderful to be able to communicate with something that's 22,000 miles away with just a couple of rulers. That's what ham radio is all about, Gordo. That's wonderful. Wonderful. What do you do?
Well, that sounds great. Now, Clint, can you give us a few words about what you actually say on the air when you make a contact through a satellite? I'm sorry, I've sort of lost my feed here, so I hope I'm not doubling with you. But maybe a few words on how to make a contact with a little FM handheld. Go ahead.
Absolutely. First, you need to know where and when the satellites will be above you. But once you get that all set up, are we showing any of our, do we have our slides up at all? Can we show a, like slide number four? When you program your handheld for work in the FM birds, there is a Doppler shift you must accommodate on the 440 side. So right now, and this graph is showing that there's almost 20 KC deviation on the 440 side on one of these passes. So say you're working AL51 and it's transmitting on 435.150. Go ahead and program .155 and 160 and listen to those to acquire the bird, and also have programmed 145 and 140. So as it descends, you'll be able to hear the whole pass. On the 2 meter side, handheld low power, you do not need to accommodate for Doppler. It's only about 5 or 6 deviation for you on the 2 meter side. How do you know what frequencies they're on? You need to check your websites. I have a website that has direct links to those who are in control of the satellites, which I kind of think is the best available info. There's no filtering, no middleman. So at worksat.com, you can get all the frequencies you can use to work the FM birds.
Your website is really what we should be looking at and beginning to get into to any of the satellite communications. You have so much information there, and I think everybody should take a look at that, and that way we can kind of get used to seeing what's going on, and we need to get familiar with the satellite communications. And then after everybody's tried this, even listened on your scanner, please do that. As he said, you just dial up 145.95 and get some kind of decent antenna, and away you go. And I think that's the way to do that, is to listen, see what you can hear, and then go to your website. And in a few weeks, we're going to have you back on here, and we're going to have a test and see what we learned about all this satellite communications. And I know that Gordon's been doing some. Have you been doing any at the fair this week, Gordo? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We've been bringing a portable handheld, and we've worked a couple of the passes, and working the OC fair with handheld, working the satellite. Clint taught us exactly how to do that. And again, I apologize if I'm talking over you. I've lost some of my connection here, but not all of it. Now, finally, Clint, how about where do we go to find out when the satellites are going to be in a favorable pass for that we can work the easy sats? Go ahead, Clint, and then if you would, wind up with, again, where to tune tomorrow morning at 7 California time, which will be 10 o'clock East Coast time. Go ahead, Clint.
Thank you much. If you put in slide number 5 up, it's a screenshot from one of the software programs. There's commercial programs out there. If you're a Palm PDA person, that's a screenshot from PocketSat. There's a version of that also for the iPod Touch and the Apple iPhone. You don't need to write these down. They're all on the website for you. If you're an Android person, HamSat Droid is great. If you're a BlackBerry person, SatMe works. If you go to slide number 6, there's two big guns in the world of satellite prediction software, Nova for Windows and MacDoppler Pro for Macs. All these programs can be set up for you with the Keplerian data. Keplerian data, let's go to slide number 7 really quickly, is simply a mathematical statement of the orbit of a satellite. And we don't have time tonight to decode this. We can spend a couple hours later and decode these sentences, but it's just a mathematical statement of what the orbit is of the bird, and all these modern software programs will decode it for you. There's also free software available on slide number 8. Absolutely free information at amsat.org, of course, and heavensabove.com. amsat.org just gives you a graph of of numbers, which you decode. You look for the elevation and then the time of day and work it that way. Don't forget to back out for Greenwich Mean Time when you use the AMSAT data, please. I don't want the calls at 3 and 4 in the morning saying that it's not there, which I have gotten. Heavensabove.com gives you a graphic representation.
Well, that all is the best thing for everybody to do, is to look at some of these different addresses. And I know that that you have all of that on your site too. So we'll start doing our homework. And I wish we had a lot more time here, but things are running close tonight. So we're going to thank you very much for being here, Clint, and taking the time and bringing all this great information. We'll get to your site and see what's going on, and look forward to getting you back on the program again very soon to help us with even more definite information that some of the guys might need. Before you go, let's see if Alex has this little video. If they've got that ready to go, let's have it. Here we go. It's the Happy Birthday Boy.
Oh, my gosh, Bob. Tell me about the organ. Tell me about that instrument.
It's about 30 feet from me. It's in my studio. I don't know if you're hearing the audio. I'm not hearing the audio of it here, but we're playing Happy Birthday on the Monster Three-Manual Theater organ here in my studio. And did that just for you. And Gordo and Susie and Sarah prepared the birthday cake. So you're a birthday kid today.
That is wonderful. Thank you very much. And 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, live on NASA TV, watch for our new amateur satellite to be deployed. 7 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in by and saying hello to everybody. And we know that you're going to turn a lot of guys and gals on to what's going on way above our heads. So thanks so much for all of that. And we'll be able to talk through the satellites with just a little handy-talky. How cool. Gordo? It doesn't get better than that, does it, when it comes to communications?
No, it's really great. All right, well, thanks, Clint. Very 73, and we hope a lot of folks will go on. And, Clint, one more time, repeat that address that tells all on how to work a satellite. Go ahead, Clint.
Gordo, thank you. It's worksat.com, worksat.com.
All right. Super. Super. Well, take care. 73, we'll be talking to you somewhere out there on the airwaves. All right, Gordo. We've had a really good run on satellite communications, and I told everybody it was going to be informational, and it certainly was. And, you know, last week we had quite a little run with George. He built a crystal receiver, and let's see if we can get George in here. George, are you with us tonight?
Good evening, Bob, and good evening, Gordo. It's good to be here again tonight. Last week, I said there would be no solder at the beginning of the segment, and then it ended up using some at the end. Anyway, I'll promise you this week I won't be soldering. However, there could be a little smoke because I pulled out one of these.
Look out. Look out. Well, we want to see what happens. You told us last week when we signed that you would let us know if that receiver you built worked. And I understand it did. And not only does it work, you transmitted your ham radio station on 75 meters AM, and you even picked yourself up. Now, that was pretty cool. Did that work okay?
That worked great. It, you know, I kind of thought it might, even though it's a totally different band. The signal right here close is strong enough that there wasn't any problem at all hearing it. And I even did a little more experimenting with it, too.
Okay. Well, before we go on, I want you to play that, but I understand that We have a very special new amateur radio operator in the studio. Let's see if Leo is there. Leo?
Breaker, 1-9. I got us a smoke. Oh, no, I know. I'm not
supposed to
do that. He's
too busy on 2 meters.
I was trying to get a satellite. Hey,
Yay.
Bob. Hey, Gordo. How are you guys?
Hey, Leo.
All right.
I know we're having a little trouble with the audio, and I totally apologize. And I know I'm not supposed to say break or breaker. I was just teasing you. Actually, I haven't done it.
Yeah, we're not hearing any audio from Leo. Of all people, we got to have Leo from Leo. We got to have audio from Leo. Oh my! Oh goodness!
If we only knew what frequency he was on.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's been on 2 meters, and he forgot to plug something in. I know. He's so excited about his license. He's just so excited. And we're excited for him, and he got it all right here on Ham Nation, as so many are doing. We're getting a lot of emails each week, and want you all to keep them coming. And we want to hear some of your escapades of taking the test, and actually learning the test, and all of that. That would be great. Let's see if they got Leo's audio back. Did you get Leo cooking yet? Oh my! We might have to get on D Star and work him on 2 meters.
I can use the D Star. I think I got the APRS here.
Yeah.
Maybe satellite.
Absolutely.
How about moon bounce?
Are you there?
Can we do a meteor bounce?
My goodness!
How about aurora bounce?
We're not hearing Leo.
Hello, hello.
Oh no! But the chat hears Leo, and Leo's audio is great. All right.
It's a beautiful studio. I just can't use it.
Well, we'll have to fix that for next time. But we really appreciate you trying to make it happen, Leo. And we congratulate you getting your license. That's really great. KJ6QGP. But not for long. I hear he's got in for a vanity call, so that's going to be good. Well, we're going to... we're going to try to get the video in because we got short time here. So, George, make it happen. Let's see what happens. I want to see if that receiver worked.
Our crystal radio set, I thought it might be fun to take a look at some of the many variations of crystal sets throughout the years. Now, the name crystal comes from the fact that the detector of the radio is a piece of crystal, usually galena. Another name for the detector would be rectifier or diode. We used a diode in our kit here from Vectronix. Some of the earliest sets used what they called a cat whisker, which was a little piece of wire that would come in contact with the crystal. Now, there have been a lot of variations over the years. The earliest crystal radios had no tuning. It was simply the detector, a set of headphones, and a long wire antenna, and of course a ground. Later, tuned circuits were added in the form of a coil that was tuned to the frequency that you wanted to receive. There are variations on that made the coil adjustable so that you could select the number of turns in the coil for tuning. Later variations used a capacitor in conjunction with a fixed coil so that you could tune with the variable capacitor. One variation of the crystal set that really caught my attention was the foxhole radio. These were used by GIs during World War I to listen to broadcasts. They usually were constructed of wire, toilet paper roll, and for the diode, they would use a blued razor blade and a piece of carbon. So let's test our set now and see how it turned out. So I'm going to stick this little dude here in my ear and turn this knob and see if I hear anything.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Actually, I hear several radio stations all at once. As I mentioned earlier, I was picking up a lot of stations at once, and that is possible when you live around a lot of high-power transmitters like I do. I did some adjusting with the antenna and ground system here, and it seemed to get a little better result. I also disconnected the headphone here and hooked up a set of wires going to an amplifier that I'm feeding the signal into right now so that hopefully you can hear. Let's tune around a little bit and see what we've got. There's one station. All right, let's tune down a little further.
Car owners, yeah. Are you driving I'm without warranty protection? Is your current auto warranty about to expire? Cover America Auto is announcing inexpensive breakdown coverage.
And there's one station
that can save you.
That's very strong there. And that one's not too far from me. It's probably 3 miles away. And they run a directional pattern, and obviously I'm in one of the main lobes of it because I'm getting a good signal on them. But I was picking up a couple other stations earlier. The antenna and ground system are fairly sensitive here and will have a great effect on things. So there you go. Free AM radio. No power.
I was curious if I could hear my 80-meter HF transmissions on this medium-frequency receiver. And apparently I can. This is 10 watts of AM.
I couldn't help but think how cool it would be if I could get a razor blade to work with this one in place of the diode. Well, you can't buy a blue razor blade anymore, so you have to make your own, and that involves heating up the razor blade really hot with a torch.
So will our blued razor blade and a pencil lead work in place of the rectifier?
1300 WOAD.
We received an email from Bill, K5LN, who said seeing the crystal set really brought back great memories for him, and he sent us some pictures of his favorite set. Now this is the front view of the set right here. You can tell he's gone into good detail on this one, and this is more than just a simple detector. Looking at the rear, we can see that the crystal set itself has three sections. On the right hand side are two notch filters, and I suppose that he built these so that he could tune out particularly strong stations to be able to hear some lesser signal ones. He also had an S meter on it. This is the only crystal set I've ever seen with an S meter. The middle section is the antenna tuner so that he can tune into the particular frequency that he's interested in, no matter what length of antenna he's using. And then the left-hand side is the crystal set itself. Bill, that's one fine-looking radio. Thanks for sharing the pictures with us. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that. I sure did have a lot of fun building it and testing it, Bob.
That was really great. And it worked. See, that's the best part. It worked. And you showed a lot of us how easy it is to make a crystal radio. And I would advise everybody to do that. There's a lot of crystal radio kits out there. And they're not very expensive, are they?
No, that one was just $20 right there.
My goodness. Well, it was fun to watch you do that, and I appreciate you going through all that work. That's really great, and we'll have more things next week. So you got to get the old smoke and the solder going, so we can make some more smoke and solder here on Ham Nation, George. And thanks very much for doing that. And you have any idea what's going to happen next week?
Well, I really haven't decided yet. I've got a couple of ideas, but. There again, I'll leave it a cliffhanger. You'll just have to tune in and see.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, we understand that they have some things going on in the studio that we got to get out of here so they can do the next program. I don't know if Gordo got back or not, but they've had some real problems here tonight again. So we will sign out of here and tell you that next week will hopefully be better.
And we're going to have the guys from Newsline here. We're going to start a new segment next week with Bill Pasternak and Robert Sudoff. These are professionals that have been doing Newsline, giving us weekly news about ham radio for decades. And they're going to start bringing that great newscast of theirs at the beginning of each Ham Nation. And they'll be here next week to tell you their story about how all of that gets put together. And, of course, we'll have our first little segment that you'll be able to hear each week here on Ham Nation. So thanks very much to all. Clint, I appreciate you being here. Carol, you were great tonight. Gordo, you're always super. And George, hats off to a great project that ended well because it worked. And that's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, Bob. And I'm looking forward to next week. And maybe we'll even hear from Leo. I think maybe the audience did, but we didn't hear what he said this week.
Yeah, it'll be 7-3. Interesting to see what he said on the replay. Hey, he's there. He's back. Let me see what you said. I think we can hear you. Do that again, Leo. You okay?
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Not a thing.
All right. Well, thanks so much to everybody. And we'll see you again next week here on the Twit Network on Ham Nation.